You know, if we're not careful, there's a tendency for us to not pay attention to the things that we say to the Father in worship. And that's why it's so important that we are mindful of the words that we call worship, if it's true worship. As we show those words to the Father, we should behold Him in the light of the words that we speak. Many times, that's how deliverance comes. When I say deliverance, deliverance in our consciousness, in our thinking. We're delivered from fears and doubts, and we're rescued from failure because we behold Him and we worship Him in the light of the words that we speak. That was a very powerful song. It will never ever change. That's our eternal confidence. That means He will not change His mind about loving me. He won't stop helping me. He won't stop strengthening me. He won't stop assisting me. He will never ever change. You are the Lord and you forever remain the same. That's worship. That's worship. To speak of Him in the light of who He is. Not to speak of Him based on an experience, but to speak of Him in light of who He is. He will never ever change. And something happens to you. The Bible says, as we behold Him, we're changed. We're changed. We are changed. Because He doesn't change. But as we behold Him in the place of worship, we are completely transformed. We see Him as He is. And every doubt and fear melts away. Every fear that maybe a particular desire will not be met, a prayer will not be answered, just completely dies in the light of who He truly is. Hallelujah. And I believe that the season that we're in, that will be our experience in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. First Corinthians. First Corinthians. That's why it's good to pray for the preacher. This is not a corporate course. This is spiritual realities. It requires prayer when we are learning it. Praise God forever, man. All right, First Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. So notice, eye has not seen nor ear heard, and has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Now, as it is written, is a reference to the prophecy of the scriptures, specifically Isaiah 64. So, Paul is explaining something to us. If you start from verse 1 of chapter 2, look at this introduction. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So, 1 Corinthians, the gospel that Paul is declaring, he calls it the testimony of God. This is God's character, God's nature, God's faithfulness that I'm trying to communicate to you. It was written as a mystery when it was promised. I'm given the privilege of explaining that mystery to you. So when he's saying, as it is written, eye has not seen, he's quoting a prophecy. I'm going to try and slow down. He's quoting a prophecy. As it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard. That is, that which God has prepared. Now, when Paul is writing this, he's explaining the testimony of God. In the life of the Corinthians, that testimony was already a reality. But before it became a reality, the gospel that Paul preached was from the Holy Scriptures. There was no First Corinthians when Paul was preaching. So Paul keeps explaining that after you have believed the gospel, it is that same message I'm going to preach to you that will make you grow. Your growth as a believer still lies in you hearing the same words you heard first when you were saved, but now to begin to understand what does it mean now that you are saved. So when Paul is saying, as it is written, eye has not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the gospel is not man's idea. The gospel is a testimony of God. It's a declaration of God's faithfulness. This is what I will do. This is what I will accomplish. That is a declaration of God's faithfulness. That's what the gospel is. Hallelujah. So when it says, eye has not seen nor heard, and I've entered in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared. So there were things God prepared. That word implies ahead of time. There were things God put aside or set aside for the benefit of those who would believe. So the word love him there actually means to believe, to believe, to believe. That's what the word love means. It was set aside for those that would believe. So in the season of performance, when they believe, there is something that occurs when they believe. Now look at what it says in verse 10. It says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, what? The deep things of God. Now, if you go to John's Gospel, chapter 16, John's Gospel, chapter 16, and I read from verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, remember, the language of John, when he's communicating the gospel with respect to Christ, he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's a person, he will guide you into what? All truth. Now, let me say this. It's important. The reason why we read all the gospels together is because this phrase here, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, is a reference to a reality. Something will happen. Not just a person coming, it's an event that will take place. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Why could Jesus speak that way? Because he had mentioned that same Spirit of truth in previous verses. So if you go to chapter 14, for instance, look at what it says in verse 16. Chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, or the same comforter, that he may abide with you, what? Forever. So again, in that statement, Jesus is declaring the difference between the Spirit of God being with men before the cross and the Spirit of God being with men after the cross is the word forever. Let me say it again. The difference between the Spirit of God being with men before the cross and being with men after the cross is that word forever. I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, don't get lost in the pronouns. I will pray the Father. So, I would pay the price. That price will be me making a demand on the Father to fulfill his word. Now, let me put it another way. I will pray the Father. How would he pray the Father? He already told in previous verses, I will go and I will come again and receive it to myself, isn't it? So when he says in verse 16, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Jesus is telling you everything God said he would do is about to be done. Because the comforter abiding with you forever means you and the comforter will be one. So when you're reading that, don't think of you and the comforter separate. He's talking about an indwelling, a oneness. God will join himself to man. That's what Jesus is talking about. God and man will be joined together. That's what we call the new creation. Say amen. So when you're reading that, again, you know, you have an English mind, I have an English mind. So when we are reading the Bible, we tend to think in English terms, but this is a Jewish book in that sense. So the original language in which it was written is meant to communicate certain thoughts to us based on the original intent of the author, isn't it? So when it tells you, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. It's as good as saying this. When you are saved, when salvation becomes a reality, which will mean the Spirit of God indwelling you, it will now guide you into the reality of what you have received. Now, that guidance, we find it in the epistles, isn't it? That is, what is written in the epistles is a description of what you have, not what you are going to have. It's a description of what you have. Say amen. So, why is a believer encouraged to study the epistles? You study the whole Bible. The emphasis on the epistles is to let you know what you already have, how you are designed to function, what is expected of you. So when it says, there are many things I want to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Albeit when the Spirit of truth is come, you can say this way, albeit when you are saved, when you are born again, in that salvation, in that redemption, the Spirit that you have received will guide you into all the realities of who you now are. Why would you need guidance? Because your mind is not saved. Because your mind is the instrument that we use to measure your spiritual growth. And with that spiritual growth, it's like a child is born. The child has a faculty of speech, faculty of sight, faculty of hearing, and the child is not able to do any of those things because the child never developed. So we feed the child nourishment so that those faculties in the child can find full word expression. You know, if you are carrying an infant, I've seen an infant that was so malnourished, the child could not cry. I don't know if you've seen that before. Yeah, an infant that's so malnourished that the child could not even cry. That is, there was no energy to cry. And to cry is not. Now, if you give birth in an hospital, now one of the things that they try to do is to make the baby cry. Sometimes I think it's an African culture. Because some of them will even slap the baby and say, why? Where the baby is coming from, there's comfort. Nobody beat the baby up. You have landed over here now. See beating. Because of crying. Why? You just slap the baby, you must cry. Leave the child alone. He's chatting like, why did I come here? Now, the idea is this. All the faculties, the child is a few human being, but the faculties in that child begin to grow, isn't it? And the child begins to articulate speech, but speech is there. Hearing is there. Sight is there. The ability to walk is there. All those faculties begin to find expression as the child grows. The same thing happens spiritually. The more I feed on the realities of who I am, the more the faculties that make him who I am, I become conversant with them. So when Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, it's like saying, when you become born again, when the reality of the Father dwelling in you by Spirit comes to pass, that same Spirit, the Father will use that same Spirit to teach you the truth of who you now are and what you now have. Praise God. You see that now? So, and the way the Father will use the Spirit to teach you is that there will be two witnesses. There will be what the Spirit is saying, which is in line with what the epistles have written. So when Paul is saying now, as it is written, I has not seen, he's about to explain what was written has now come to pass. As it is written. That's why, you know, people usually have a love headache. The minute they take a scripture out of context, he's seeking something. Then people usually say, like, you know, eyes have not seen, nor hear. You don't know what God, that's not the word he's saying. That is true on his own context. But that is not what the scripture is saying. I hope you understand. It's true that eyes have not seen some things that God wants to do in your life. It's true. But that's not what this one is saying. So the problem is not that. That's not true. That's on his own. But that's not what this one is saying. This is what Isaiah said. That the fact that God will not live in a physical temple, he will make man his own temple. Eyes have not seen that before. Look at Acts chapter 7 now. Let me tell you the reason why these truths, we need to teach them over and over again. Listen carefully. It takes a long time before our minds can be free from the mindset of going to a particular place to go and worship God. It is in everybody's mind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That you go to a place to go and meet God. How many of you? And that's why we still sing, we have come into your presence. Now, it's because that's our mindset. It takes time for there to be a ring. It takes time. You have to hear the truth over and over again to change it because you still feel there's a particular sacred place where God ought to be worshipped. And when you think that way, you're back to the woman by the well. Our fathers worship this mountain. You say in Jerusalem. And Jesus was saying that neither you nor your fathers are right. Even the Jews too are not right. Because God is a spirit. If it's about the physical location, how can you fix a spirit to a physical location? It's a spirit that can be everywhere at the same time. So you can't put him in a geographical location. That's where the problem is. And that's why most people that God dealt with, before there was ever the law, there was no temple. There was no tabernacle. He met Abraham on the road. Jacob on the road. Isaac on the road. They met him on the street. That's why he picked Paul also on the street. He didn't come to him in the synagogue. So he can know that God doesn't dwell there. I hope you understand. That God doesn't dwell there. You see that Enoch that went to Jerusalem to go and worship. He went to synagogue. He didn't meet God there on the road. God sent somebody to talk to him. God is not in that place you are going. God is everywhere now. Now, as simple as that is, to get the mind of man to think that way. I mean, I've been to a church where before we can go to a particular place, we have to remove our shoes. There's also mercy land. In mercy land, you have to remove your shoes. I don't know why you're laughing. It's a land of mercy. You have to remove your shoes and bow down there. And there's only one bowing down. The only point is that I could have bowed down in my room. Because wherever I am is holy ground. God made it that way. That's what God wanted. Acts chapter 7. Verse 47. But Solomon built him an house. Acts chapter 7, verse 47. But Solomon built him an house. Albeit the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, said the Lord? What is the place of my rest? Can you see that? Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, said the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Where will the promise be fulfilled? The place of God's rest is the place where the promise is fulfilled. Where will God's promise be fulfilled? Inside of man. Man is God's destination. Every promise God made will be fulfilled inside man. That is God living inside man. That's the destination. That's what God promised to do. That is the temple God was looking forward to. That man will become God's temple. That's the place of God's rest. So what was in which temple will you build? Because as long as you build, it can't be my house. If it's my house, it has to be one I will build. I will not build it. I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter, that the Father may abide with you how long? Forever. So the house I will build, it will be a forever thing. Because Father will be able to dwell with you, because the work I will perform will be perfect. Say to your neighbor, God is not far from you. God is as close to you as the breath on your nostrils. Say, God is very close. Now, in your mind, is God far? Yes. In reality, is God far? No. So go back to that First Corinthians 2. So you see why I went through all that rigmarole now. To bring you a consciousness about the fact that this is what the Bible says. So see, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us by Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yet deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received. Glory to God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are what? Freely given to us of God. So we can say this way, we have become God's resting place. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. In other words, in us, the promise of God has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. So when you now want to know what was fulfilled, you go look at what the promise said. Hallelujah. In you, in me, the promise has been fulfilled. If I want to know what was fulfilled, then I go look at the promise, the details of the promise. What did the promise say? But it has been fulfilled. So that it has been fulfilled doesn't mean you know what the promise said, but it has been fulfilled. So when his eyes have not seen, the things which God has prepared, what God prepared were promises he made of what he would do. And he would do it in the life of those who believe. And those who have believed, therefore, they have now received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is of God, so that they may know the things which are what? Freely given. Now, what does it mean to know things which are freely given? Remember, there are many things I want to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it when he, the spirit of truth, is come? What will he do? He will guide you into... So how do you get to know? By the spirit's guidance. Now, look at what Paul says. Now, go back to that First Corinthians, so that you understand. Let's just keep flowing. See what he says in the struggle. So now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak. So Paul says the things which are freely given, the promises which God made, which you are now a recipient of, those are the things which we freely speak. Why are we saying them freely? Because they've come to pass. Okay, praise God. If you have a meeting, let me see and say A. Okay. Even if you don't understand, he said A. Look at verse 13 again. See what it says. Which things also we speak. What do we speak? The things which are freely given. What are the things freely given? The promises God made. Amen. So, if you go to Ezekiel, what are the things which are freely given? Because the minute the Spirit of God is in you, there are things that are what? Freely given. What are the things freely given? They are the promises God made. What did Paul call it in 1 Corinthians 2:1? It says the testimony of God. This is how to read the scriptures. The testimony of God. Hallelujah. Say God's testimony is inside me now. I'm God's temple. I'm his dwelling place. I'm his place of rest. So you see, God's place of rest is seeking rest. Okay. When God's place of rest is not seeking rest, you know there's a problem. As Ezekiel 36, amen. Amen. Verse 25, Ezekiel 36, we're looking at what are the things that are freely given. See what it says? Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away a stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you what? An heart of flesh. Now, you realize that these are the things which are freely given. I was cleansed. I was sprinkled with clean water. That clean water is a new heart. That new heart is a new spirit. That new spirit is God's spirit within me now. Say amen. And that is what is freely given. So the spirit of God within me is a summary of the things which are freely given. Now look at the description in next verse. Verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you. So my spirit in you is you walking in my statutes. You are able to keep my judgments. You are able to perform them. Those are the things that are freely given. What is freely given again? My spirit within you is enablement to walk in my statutes. It is a way to know my counsel. It is an avenue to have an understanding of me. That's what it means. I will put my spirit. As he put his spirit within you. What does that mean? Look at what is freely given again. Then you are to walk in his statutes. You are to keep his judgments. And you are able to what? Do them. So you are not a stranger to God's voice. You are not a stranger to the leaders of God's spirit. No. You are a member of the household and the family of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit has made us one. Now, the degree to which you believe, when I say believe, you are persuaded of this reality, is the degree to which it will reflect in your confessions. Let me say it again. Can you be confused in your mind? Yes. Can you be confused as a believer? No, you can't be. Because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. The God of order lives inside of you. That means his peace, his counsel is present with you if you will acknowledge it. So there is a training, a learning. Which things also we speak, not with words which man's wisdom teaches. So man's wisdom will not say, the Spirit of God in me is clarity in me. No. What man's wisdom will say, since I'm so confused, I don't know what to do. That's what man's wisdom says. Which things also we speak, not with words which man's wisdom teaches. Man's wisdom acknowledges experiences over the word of God. Hallelujah. Man's wisdom will say, since my account reads 50 naira. Why somebody say, ha? Your account has not read 50 naira before. That means I must be broke. Man's wisdom will say, since I'm having headache, that means I must be sick. God's wisdom will say, despite having headache, I'm healed of God. Despite not knowing in specific detail what to do, God's leading inside my heart. I always know what to do. So notice, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with what? Spiritual. Now, let me explain that, because again, you can miss it. Where is it coming from? Remember, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. So the spirit of the world is the spirit that controls man's wisdom, isn't it? But the Spirit of God which you have received will communicate things with words which the Holy Ghost teaches. So what it will say is this, comparing spiritual things with spiritual means the promise of God are spiritual, the fulfillment is spiritual. So I take what was promised and the reality and I compare it. Are you with me now? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual means that which was promised, spiritual. The reality is also what? Spiritual. I take the two, I persuade my heart. And that's how I live. So I compare spiritual things, not with natural. I compare spiritual things with what? Spiritual. That's what I do. So remember, what we're saying is not with what which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Ghost teaches. And when the Holy Ghost is teaching, it will let you see the promises, it will let you see the fulfillment, and let you decide. So I look at what was promised. I look at what has been fulfilled. When I look at what was promised, I know what I'm capable of now because of the detail of what was promised. I will put my spirit within you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments. You will do them. So I now begin to speak according to the Holy Ghost. I walk in God's statutes. I walk in clarity. I walk in God's leading. I know what to do. I'm led by God's Spirit. I'm never confused. I never miss it in life. What am I doing? Words which the Holy Ghost teaches. Hallelujah. Can you see that now so far? So, where do you start from? Now we have received. It's a big deal. Samson couldn't say, I've received. Samson will say, the Holy Ghost has come. And the Holy Ghost will go. Now, was the Holy Ghost on Samson was an enablement. The Holy Ghost in you is the Father dwelling in you. That's a huge difference. A huge difference. Samson will tell you, how I wish I had your forever. I look forward to forever. But Jesus said, I'll pray the Father. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. You have the forever of God. Hallelujah. You being God's temple, that's God's forever. You will never lack leading. You will never want for guidance. No, it's in you and with you at all times. What do you do? You acknowledge. Let's see what it says in that same 1 Corinthians. Verse 14. But the natural man, who is the natural man? The man who has not received the Spirit. The man who uses the wisdom of this world. The natural man receiveth not or does not welcome. He does not welcome the things of the Spirit. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. So, I've spent several years trying to get believers to stop saying, and something told me, oh, please, now, if you are educated scripturally speaking, you will change your vocabulary. It's not something. It's that same knowing, that same leading. The Spirit of God within you told you. Stop saying something. Something told you. What is something? Can something speak? No. Someone told you. It's a person. Hallelujah. It's a person that told you. Someone told you. And when you want to get more accurate, the Lord told me. And that's why I brought it down to everyday life. I brought it down to illustrations that all of us can agree with. There was a money you put on the table. You were planning to take it the next morning. And before you went to bed, you sensed you should put it in your wallet. You sensed you should put it in your pocket. You said, it's not this table I'm seeing here. That illustration I just gave you now. I don't know how many times I've done it. I put my wallet, my card folder, I put it on top of each other. I can't miss it. And I said, put it in your bag. I said, this one, I can't miss it. So now we'll pass by the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God that knows your infirmities. That it's a phone call you'll be receiving when you're going out. You won't see the table. He knows what will happen tomorrow. You don't know. He says, put that thing there. Now, it's not a voice. It's an urge. Just sense that. As though somebody is thinking through your mind. This happens literally every day of our lives. Have you noticed? In our house, we pump water. what are thanks like? First thing in the morning, when I'm doing my prayer in the morning around 4 a.m., sometimes I might just go out. If I wake up earlier at 2 a.m., I'll just go and pump water. There are times I'll come back in and I'm tired, and I just sense, go and pump the water now. Every time I've disobeyed, every time. And it's like a timetable. I'll sleep, even if I sleep 11, I'm still going to wake up 4 to pray. And then light was 3 degrees, principal and corner. And then every time I miss that, pump now. You just wake up at 4, everywhere is dark, no lights. Now be looking. You were disobedient. Now, it's like, it's these simple things. Make the call now, you will forget. Nah. I think your own memory is better than the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? How make it down? There's time. There's time. Just call the person and you'll forget. Put the receipt in the wallet now. Little nudgings, which are meant to train you for big things. So that the day you have this urge, you don't, now, you can hear a voice. Now, let me ask you. The reason why God uses many avenues to lead us, because, listen, let me use a natural thing. They sent you text message. They sent you mail. You didn't respond. Can you see yourself? They sent mail. You didn't see the mail. The mail is there. You didn't check. They sent you text. You didn't respond. They went WhatsApp. Now, see how many means they used to communicate to you before they got you. They now made a call. You missed the call. You think God will now wait for one method where you are concerned, when he knows you? No. He will use every means possible. So there's the inward witness. Which is why when Pastor Jimmy is counseling couples, one of the things we get to tell them is, depending on the time you get married, that give yourself 1 year to bond. Just give yourself about 1 year to bond. So that don't rush anything, just take time. Now, that is not a general rule that applies in all situations. We always put a caveat, and that caveat is this. If you sense otherwise, I don't wait before having children, obey that leading. Just obey that leading. But it's better for you to wait for a year. Why? Just to have time to what? Bond. But now, that is a general rule that does not apply when you have a different what? Leading. When you have a different leading, what should you do? Follow the leading. I've seen people, they were led. Don't do family planning. They still did it. Their counselor said so. And the problem started. Your system is different from the system of the other person. A simple act of disobedience can cause you years of sorrow. Because you just missed God. You just missed God. Meanwhile, the hurt just came. Like, you shouldn't do it. I'm not talking about your own natural disposition not to. Because some people have a natural disposition not to. You have to learn to separate your natural disposition and the leading of God. That is, you had a plan, but suddenly the urge just came, not to. Follow the urge, not to. It is later you may realize, because it is a witness, it's not a voice. Now, as you obey, more often than not, further leading can now come. That is, God can now use another lead to confirm the initial one. I'm using that illustration because it applies. We have married people here, don't know what I'm talking about. So, it's so basic and so simple that there's nobody that cannot testify to being led one way or the other. This way. You are going for the interview first thing tomorrow. You have the outfit, so to speak, ready. You got it from the dry cleaner. Go and check where you kept it. He said, no, it's in the wardrobe. The tie is hanging on the... I know where it is. When you get there, you didn't find it. And there's no backup shirt. You don't know yourself. I know where the... You go and check this. No. And you have to go for it. What will you do at that point? But it has been coming on for 3 days. Check this shed. So I know myself. That's the Holy Ghost also knows you. I said, I know myself. It happens in business. See, buy foodstuffs now. You just had a bonanza. Some money came in. Buy it now. I said, I know. What's the rush? We still have some extra here. There's no rush. I see both as I was coming. It was a revelation at the filling station. Because I just bought it 2 days ago at 575. I got the finish, the cheapest one is now 590 today. I could have bought more the day I went. I said, what's there? It's not fair. 15-naira difference is not much until you are buying anything over 30 liters. That's when you know that 15-naira is much. Or you don't know. Now, I'm deliberately using that to let you see that it occurs in everyday life. Not taking note of opportunities given because there was a witness on the inside. Act this way. Buy the rice now. No, by December, rice will not be expensive. Amen. See, we all said amen together. Amen. And what is Christmas without rice? You have removed the mass out of the Christmas. How many households here have Christmas without rice? Is it even Christmas when there's no rice? No, no. It's not a Christmas again. The mass has been removed from the Christmas. What you have left is Christ. But natural man received not. So even when the Spirit of God wants to get across to natural man, he does not welcome the things of the Spirit, for they are what? Foolishness. In that kind of them, because they are spiritually discerned. But look at the next verse. It says, but he that is one, spiritual. That's the word for he that is of the Spirit. He that is of the Spirit. The one who is spiritual is the one who is of the Spirit. Say, he that is spiritual judges all things, or sees things in the right light, yet he himself is what? Understood of no man. He's not understood by any man. But who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have what? The mind of Christ. The word instruction means to understand him. To understand him. But we have the mind that understands him. Glory to God. So, in the book of Acts, is we see the church living in the light of the prophecy of having the Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 2. Before we go to Acts chapter 17, we've seen Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter on the day of Pentecost stood up in verse 17 and said, and it shall come to pass in the last day, said God, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall what? Dream dreams. So your old men shall dream dreams. Now, those are means of supernatural guidance. So now look at what happened now in Acts chapter 13. And I'm going to read from verse 1. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. The Bible says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, that was a leading. The Holy Ghost said means that body of believers, one or two individuals brought forth utterance. So the Holy Ghost spoke through utterance. So God sometimes speaks through supernatural utterance. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have once called them. So there was an initial leading. The leading was getting stronger, but the leading was confirmed in the gathering of the saints. Let me say it again. Barnabas and Saul already had a leading from the Lord about a greater assignment. They had gathered with the church at Antioch for years. They functioned as prophet and teachers in the church at Antioch, isn't it? Acts chapter 11 testifies that. And they gathered together with the church at Antioch. So they had functioned in the church. They were recognized in that local assembly as being prophets and teachers. So they were part of the eldership of that local assembly. In that same local assembly, when they had a prayer meeting to minister to the Lord, the Holy Ghost gave further confirmation. Notice, to the work to which I have called them. So he had given them a leading before about the work. All that the eldership was to do was to confirm the work. Hallelujah. Was to confirm. And that is the beauty of being around fellow believers who are intelligent with respect to things of the Spirit. If you have a leading, it will be confirmed as you gather. More often than not, through utterance. Through utterance. The things of the Spirit. In other words, God expects that you are gathered around intelligent believers who will use the same faculty of the Spirit to arrive at a decision with respect to what does God want done. Let me say it again. You are not meant to be in the dark. There's safety in the gathering of the saints. And the safety there is that you can all arrive at the same decision together, knowing this is what God is trying to say. So if I pick up something, you pick up something. Some years ago, and I think it was my pastor that mentioned supernaturally how a church was started in another country. He said he went to that particular country that was led to go there. When they had a meeting over there with one or two people, and then in night time, he saw himself handing over a church to an individual. He started a church over there, an individual church, and he didn't see who the individual was. And then the individual he handed over to, at the same night, had a vision of the man handing over a church to him. The two of them came together the next day to talk. So the piece of the puzzle fell into place. You saw yourself handing over to somebody. I saw you handing over to me. So he knew it was, I hope you get it. The Holy Ghost was working on both hands. Now, that is common to the leading of the Spirit. So Saul of Tarsus was arrested on the road to Damascus by an audible voice. Jesus appeared and spoke to him. And what Jesus said was simple. Go into the city. It will be told you what you should do. Just go. So in obedience, he went. As he went, Jesus went to one of the disciples called Ananias by a spectacular visitation. In night time, Jesus appeared to him and gave him instructions, word for word, by revelation. Go to a city which is called Straight. Ask for one Saul of Tarsus. He is praying. As I'm talking to you, he is praying. So Saul had a vision. As Ananias had a vision. Both of them, it was confirmed when they came together. So God will work on both ends also. But remember, each of them had a specific leading. When they came together, the leading was confirmed. Isn't it? So the leadings become stronger in the gathering of the saints. I don't know how many times that happened in service. When people would call to me, I had this question. There was this thing that I was considering doing. You said this, and it just became clear. I just knew exactly what to do. That was when I was teaching. It may be an illustration I just gave, which I give by the Spirit, and the thing was just set in the person's heart. I think it was this last Sunday. I thought one or two things. I just veered into a particular direction. And I knew I was talking to some couples about the issue of children. Even though I was wondering, why am I talking at this time in my mind? But I knew by the Spirit of God that I was giving an illustration that later I found out there was a couple that they were just about to put the child in school and they were wondering, this child be safe? Child not be safe? And I just thought I just give illustration. I'm like, how many of you made that illustration? Now, that's what God does. It will confirm. It will confirm. And then the next thing happens that the heart of those parents are just at rest. No longer afraid. No longer fearful. Because certain words were spoken. Why? There's safety with supernatural guidance in the God. Paul had the leading. Barnabas had the leading. Yet when they came together, the leading was simply what? Confirmed. It was confirmed. Acts chapter 16. Let me show you again. Another illustration. Acts chapter 16. I mean intelligent believers now. Intelligent believers. The believers who know how to respond to the things of the Spirit. Now notice what he said in verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which are in Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, so Paul and Barnabas were used, so to speak, to going to churches, local assemblies. In this case, it was Paul and Silas. It was Paul and Silas. At this time, Barnabas had taken Mark, they got to Cyprus. But this was now Paul and Silas. And look at what happened. And so were the churches established, verse 5, in the faith, and increased in number daily. But when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidding of the Holy Ghost to preach the word where? In Asia. And they were come to Mysia, they assayed, the word is to try to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Notice the first word, they were forbidding. That's strong. That is on the pain of death. That is what a strong confirmation not to go anywhere near there. Likely their lives will be in danger. Now, did God say go into all the world? Yes. The same God that said go into all the world was saying the harvest day is not yet ripe. Did they go there eventually? Yes, they did. But this particular season, the leading of God was don't go. It wasn't just a casual reluctance. It wasn't like, I just have a witness, it's not yet time. No, they were forbidden. That's strong. That means when it comes to God leading you, the impression can be so strong. And it can come to utterance that you know that on the pain of death, you are not permitted to go. Notice the two words. They were forbidden. The next one, it did not suffer. That's more gentle. It did not give them release. There was no release on the inside to go. Now, you and I know there are many times you want to go for a function. You want to go to somebody's house. You want to make a trip. And you sense there's no release. How many of you have been there before? If you eat too much buns, you may overcome the wind. You may not know that this is a restraint by the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean by that? That's why eating too much is not good. It makes it difficult for you to hear. Your stomach can be leading you. You are not meant to go for that function. Can that kind of jollof rice? No. I must go. I must go. It's not natural for you not to go. But your sense, no. Let it slide. Just pass it up. Don't go. You just have that on the inside. And then for some people, God will have said it, will have prompted you, will not begin to put roadblocks in front of you. Somebody will call you and say, I'm coming to meet you in your house. Let's have a prayer meeting. Say, I'm not praying, I have a party to go. Pastor will call you. There's something I want you to do for me. Come and see me. So I have a function today. I cannot. Now, God is using everything like as a roadblock. You are also blocking God. No. Because your stomach is eating you. Say, three course meal. No. In this economy, I know. I must go. Meanwhile, the original leading was the hurt on the inside. Don't go. That will be strained on the inside. Which is how it leads every single one of us. It happens in every interaction. You want to make a phone call now. As you are trying to make the call, you cut the call. You want to send a text message. You typed it, you deleted it. Don't say that to the person. Don't say that. I mean, even I'm talking about. Don't say. But you know what you did? You sent it. No. Send it. Then when the repercussion came, it. Ah! And I knew, and I should not have sent that. It's too late now. You already did. But he did what he used to do. He is faithful to guide you. He led you not to make the call. He led you not to send the message. You still did. So look at what happened again. Go back to Acts chapter 16. We have to bring this thing down to daily basis so that you can see that there's nobody here who doesn't experience leading. Nobody. You are without excuse. We all do. We all do. Safety. Some years back, one of our women here, she was believing God for, it was her first child, so she was believing God for a delivery. And so that was what she was believing for. What they call normal delivery. I've since found out from doctors that whenever the baby comes and mother is fine, it's called normal delivery. I've since found out it's normal. You know, we give things names. Somebody does CS, whether is it normal delivery or CS? No, CS is normal delivery. CS is normal delivery. That's what doctors call normal. Abnormal is when there's a complication with the woman or with the child. They call it normal. Because some people even go for optional CS. I hope you know that. So it's normal. It's, we are the ones who think that if a woman has to, that's me. No. It's not very normal. So she was just confessing that she would have without going to CS. So I was just so. And then there was a date that was fixed. Then just close that time. Now, the hospital I introduced her to, the doctor there was pre-filled, and I have known the doctor for quite a while. So when she went to check, the doctor now said that, I feel that you shouldn't wait till the due date before you give birth. That I want you to come in on so-and-so date, which was like a week or two before the time. I just sense that you should just come in that time and then just have this baby and then just take baby out. He said, no. I've been confessing. I'm reading it, so I said, no, which is fine. It's wrong. So he said, okay, you know what? Discuss with pastor and let me know what you have decided. Whatever you decide, I will decide on. So the doctor called me and I discussed with the doctor. When the doctor was discussing with me on the inside, my heart agreed with what the doctor said. Without any natural, I couldn't find a natural reason for it. My heart just agreed. I mean, I'm a pastor, I was like, well, no, doctor. We'll use faith. I just had the urge to just agree with the doctor. So I called the lady, I started petting her, you know, everything will be fine. And they just, she was crying, she was like, I said, let's just. Now, went to the hospital, had the delivery, and it was CS. And then they noticed something. The doctor told me that if they had waited one more day, that the baby somehow defecated inside the fluid. And so oxygen had reduced. If they waited one more day, that would have been the end. I don't even get what I said. Now, that was a leading. Even as you are confessing, the same spirit that is going to answer the prayer is telling you that this is the solution, this situation. I hope you understand. Now, I'm being sincere with you. Now, the second time she was now ready, the second child, she was like confessing again. Okay, that was that time. Again, doctor said that, well, everything, we checked everything. Everything is normal. You ought to have a normal delivery now. But I sense, so you have come again, that we should just like go through, you know, let's just go through. I just sense that you should not push. We did the first one. So you were like, is it because we did the first one? Was it the second one? I'm ready. Well, I've checked everything. Everything is actually normal. So you should be fine. But I just sensed, I made sure I sensed that was just. So when they got to the hospital, they did another CS. When they were doing it, the doctor told me, said that he doesn't know what happened. But he said, well, this is my brother, he's a medical doctor. He said the stomach lining looked like nylon. It was so thin that what would have happened if she had pushed was that it would have ruptured inside and they wouldn't know. They would bring the baby out. She'll be bleeding. And some women days after have passed on. And they didn't know anything was wrong with the stomach lining until they did that thing. It was as thin as nylon. It would have ruptured inside. People would have come out. Everybody would have been bleeding. She'll be bleeding. Doctors would know why is she bleeding. They would do normal things to stop bleeding, but why is she bleeding? Because it's inside. I don't know if you understand. We are naked without the Spirit of God. We are literally naked without the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God in every area of our lives. What school to go to? What exams to write? Which country to go to? That's why I'm always asking people who want to relocate that. I've never prayed anybody should not go. In the last 3 years, over 50 people have left. I always ask a question. Are you sure? Are you following the trend? Or you are following the leading on the inside? There's a trend. There's a leading. If you follow trend and you're a child of God, you're in trouble. You ask you, did I send you? That is, opportunity will come your way. Not every opportunity is God's door. So there's you knowing that I shouldn't just jump at every opportunity because there's some open doors and not God's door. I ought to be led with respect to, is this what God wants me to do now? God, is this thing about, my cousin said I should come. I'm going, living in this country.
And then the lesson, you now move out of God's will. You move out of God's will. And I know people that ought to go. And how they left. And how God worked it out. Because they were meant to go. And one of the best articles I found on that subject was a particular minister I read some time ago. And he is over there now, doing a work for God. And he said, people just come over here. They don't even know what they are doing. He said, before I came over here, God told me exactly how long I will stay. So now I'm coming back. God, my assignment is there. Say, did you bother to ask God even how long you are staying? Just decide to just go. Say, I'm here. God is the last consideration. We'll be telling you when we are ready. Because we are sure here. We are sure here. We have landed. The eagle has landed. We're going nowhere. So God is not even brought into the matter. And you know what I'm talking about? When there are certain things you want to do and you're afraid to ask God. Because you're like, don't say no. That's the problem you have. You're like, that's how you go and say no. So your prayer is always, you just pray just enough not to be in the spirit. Because you're like, what he will say now? He may say, I should not. This is supposed to be a lot of relationship. You are beginning to like the person. You're like, if I pray too much now, that's how I will go and say. So you are afraid to go deep because you're like, if I get in the spirit, God now says that is not my, you just don't hear that. No. Because you know what you want. The same thing applies to other areas of life also. Because we're really naked without God leading and guiding us. Everything can be good on the outside, but on the inside, what's happening? And the internal environment really, really matters. Now, look at what he did over here as we round up for tonight. Acts chapter 16. Now, this is a company of believers. Acts chapter 13, a company of believers. Isn't it? Now, Acts chapter 16 also. See what it says. Verse 8. And they passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. So they were still in motion. Notice what they tried to do. They tried to go to... They were passing through Phrygia, the region of Galatia. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. They tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not allow them. They passing by Mysia. So they didn't go into Mysia. They passed by Mysia. They didn't have access to go there. No open door. And they went down to Troas. And when they were in Troas, a vision appeared to Paul in night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and what help us. And after I had seen the vision, immediately we... Which is what we, that is those of Paul's company, we endeavor to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord has called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So, who is we? Paul's company. It was a collective and corporate leading. They arrived, they studied the leading, they arrived together at the same conclusion. God is saying, go to what? Macedonia. Can you see that? Go to Macedonia. Was there a spectacular leading? Yes. A vision came in the night. How do you know the man's from Macedonia? Obviously, from the garments he wore. Paul knew this man is from Macedonia. And the man said, come to Macedonia, come and help us. That's where we need help. I believe strongly that the man Paul saw in that vision was the jailer. That's me. You know what happened in the jail? Can you remember what happened in the jail at Philippi? Yeah. When Paul must have seen that man, you are the one. But the man was unsaved at that time. So his spirit must have been crying for help. And then through his spectacular manifestation, the man came. What must I do to be saved? And then Paul preached the gospel. And the man was saved, he and his household. And the Bible says the man rejoiced greatly. So church started in a man's house. Imagine starting a church with members. Man, I won't convert. Just like that. From a spectacular day. Come over. Paul must have seen that man and said, the man we saw in the vision. So when Paul was in jail, Paul was a free man. The man that was in jail was the jailer himself. Paul went to jail to rescue the man from jail. Because Paul was a free man, the man was the one who was in prison under Satan's dominion. Paul was God's free man to deliver the man to the gospel. So Paul was in prison for just that man and his family. And when mission was accomplished, they were released from prison. Hallelujah. That's where God opened the door. So there was something about they assuredly gathered. It was a collective thing. They arrived at the same conclusion together. And that's why, like I said, once you stay with intelligent believers, it will be easier. Some years ago when we were on campus, we used to have outreaches. I and a few of my friends, we had a team who would have prayer meetings Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we have a day of the week, 2 days of that, we went after the lost. But our target was mostly called guys. And that was the shortest of the group. We were 7 in number. So after my height, I think the next person is like, who is third in this church now? He's very third in this church now. You shall know third is third, shall. So you can imagine I was shortest among them. And I was leader of the team. So I said, before we go to anywhere to go preach. Let's just hold hands together and pray that God should show us where to go. So we held hands together. And as I went, I began to learn about leadership and how to lead men. So we prayed. And when we prayed, it was just a few seconds prayer. I closed my eyes and I saw exactly where we should go. But I didn't say anything. So I waited for the others. So one person said we should go there. Two people said we should go to the hall I saw. So when the two of them mentioned that particular hall, I now told them what I saw. I told them which section of the hall we should be in. I told them the balcony we should stay on. Now, we had some other supernatural confirmations when we matched, because we matched all the way to the hall. It was quite a distance from where the hall was staying. And we're just chanting praises on the road to God until we got there. When we got there, we went to that particular balcony, the second balcony, it was our hall. When we got to the spot I saw in the vision, we stayed that area and we began to preach. That night, we got 12 called guys saved who were about to be initiated into cult. We didn't know that was initiation light. That was the night they were going to be initiated. And where we stood, each of them passed us by. And we got 12 of them saved that night, just by that leading. It pays to be led. It pays to be led. Just pays to be led. We got 12 of them saved that night. In fact, we had such a spectacular manifestation. When we were going, I was marching on, as we were praising, God told me, look up. I looked up. I saw a ring like a cloud surrounding the moon. So that's a sign that I'm with you. We got there. The minute the 12th person was saved, the cloud disappeared. He said, the covering's over now. You can go now. Because we're preaching to guys who these guys were waiting for to come join them and to be. Of course, they never went. God just helped us. So to be led means that there are things God wants to do more often than not. That when he directs us, we are stepping to things he has already prepared. And Christianity is, how do you put it now, interesting and adventurous when you live your life being led by the Spirit of God. You will be living in a no-failure zone. Hallelujah. You live in a no-failure zone. You know when you're going for evangelism, you know that's part of being led also. You first obey the commandment, go into all the world, so you go everywhere. And as you are going, you're checking your heart. There are some people you feel, I'm going to enter this shop, it says don't go. That person's heart is not soft yet. And there are some people, they are just waiting for you to just say, in the name of Jesus, yes, yes, they just get saved. How many of you know that? Yeah, they won't struggle at all. Some, 2 hours, they're like, who is preaching to? They're like, who told me to come here today? This one is not here to meet. This one is to hug you. It will take you away from the message. Start talking about, what do you think? Do you think these leaders are serving God? Is that who asked you about? Like, what kind of thing is? If you want to close the conversation, say, no, 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 brother, stay, sit. Let me get you coke. You're like, what kind of, I didn't pray well before I came. Because when you are led, even when it comes to getting people saved, it's an amazing kind of results when you are led supernaturally. Hallelujah. Praise God.